Go ahead and pull out your Bibles, if you would, please. We have quite a bit of ground to go over this morning. We're in a series on the Feast of the Lord. What I want to do is, in a few moments, I'm going to hand out some pieces of paper for the calendar, a wheel, if you will, of calendar for Israel. This is the second message in a series on the Feast of the Lord. But above all, before we start, I want to really reemphasize a couple of things. As you take a look at end time events and what's happening right now, it can cause one to become fearful. What's going on? You know, more earthquakes than ever. And in fact, the scripture, you go to Matthew chapter 24, and you find that the birth pangs are taking place. And ladies, what happens when you birth a baby? What happens? The pangs start coming stronger and stronger and more rapidly and more rapidly. And that is what Jesus calls the beginning of sorrows. And what are we seeing right now? Earthquakes, volcanoes, famines. We're seeing hurricanes. And whether or not it became more than a Category 1 doesn't make any difference. A ton of devastation was left in Irene's wake. And we want to be praying for people. I pray that we get it. God, wake us up. Help us see that we've allowed some wrong things to happen in our country, which has resulted in some devastation. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
But as we take a look at the Feast of the Lord, what I don't want to emphasize is two things. I don't want to emphasize either fear or legalism. There are a lot of Christians now who are becoming subject to a thing of, you better keep the feast, you better keep the feast, you better keep the feasts. Well-intentioned and sincere as they may be, if you want to keep the feast, that's up to you. That's not a problem. Because they're called the Feasts of the Lord. They're not called in the Bible the Jewish feasts. They're called the Feasts of the Lord. And so they are instructive for us. And yet, the bottom line of what I want us to see as we embark on this study, our second weekend, is I want us to see Jesus. Turn to each other and say, Pastor Kevin wants us to see Jesus. As we take a look through all of these things, you can get lost in the detail. The importance isn't the detail. The importance is seeing Jesus. I love Jesus more than I've ever loved Him in my entire life. How about you? Some of the songs we sang this morning, we've been singing for 40 years. I don't care. I love Him more today than I ever loved Him before when I was a young kid. See, 40 years ago, I was just a young kid. I was only 2 40 years ago. Okay, I'll be 58. That's right. But, and Pat, we'll want you to just bring these down one at a time. But what we have, as we take a look at the feast, there are three main feasts, and they are revealed to us in 7 different aspects or feasts. And what you see here is kind of an overall. The first month of the year, you have Passover. And Passover, so you understand, was a one-day feast, followed by 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so Jews will oftentimes refer to unleavened bread as the 8 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because Passover is the first day, followed by 7 days, and then the sheaf of the first fruits. We'll go over what that means next week or the week after. And then in the third month, you see the transition of time, and the third month, we get to Pentecost. There's some really cool things to understand out of here. Then you lift it up and we continue on in the Jewish calendar. Remember last week we talked about there's the Gregorian calendar that replaced the Julian calendar from Julius Caesar. Some countries in the world still follow the revised Julian calendar, but most nations of the world or countries of the world in the 20th century by then adopted the Gregorian calendar. But the Jewish calendar or the Hebrew calendar has different perspectives. I asked a question last week. I want to ask you one more time. If God wasn't casual in how He set up this world and how we are to walk with Him, how many think God will be casual as everything wraps up? So it's wise for us to understand from a Hebrew frame of reference from which the scripture was written, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New. So we want to understand what was the understanding that they all had that helps us with our interpretation of scripture. Okay? All right, so then you go on to an interval after the third month, fourth, fifth, and sixth month, and you come to the seventh month and you have 3 more again. the Feast of Trumpets, or the rallying cry, if you will, atonement, the time to make sure you're right with God, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering, the wrapping up. There are several perspectives as we take a look. Now, let me just hand these out to you, and you can study along. I'm not necessarily going to go over these this morning. If you would, please, that would be great. Dan, if you'll take the other side of the room, that would be great. Thank you. And this just gives you a calendar perspective and some thoughts on how it relates to our understanding of the calendar. As they pass it out, don't get lost in looking at that. Please look at that later. There's about one per family if there's not enough, okay? All right. But as we take a look at it, the heart of understanding behind the feast is this. God wants to be with us. It's party time. It's party time. There are fastings that take place among these events, but it's time to be with God. Israel, in Jesus' day, Jerusalem, normally 600,000 people, would swell to 2.5 million believers or worshipers, if you will. 2.5 million people came together to celebrate the Passover. Now, they know that because the Passover lamb, their equation was 1 per 10. If you will, 1 for a family, but they use the equation of 1 per 10. We learn this from Josephus, the historian. So 1 per 10, and there were 250,000 lambs sacrificed at Passover, which means 2.5 million believers. All right, so or worshipers, rather. The issue is celebration, party. God wants to be with us. Say Emmanuel, please. God with us. All right, 3 times a year, he commanded the males to come up and present themselves in the feast and in the festivals. And the Hebrew word for the appointed feast, now we're on to the notes, Pat, thank you. The Hebrew word is moed. Can you say it with me? Moed. And it means an appointed meeting, a set time, an appointment, a festival, a sign, or a signal. The feasts were to be signals. Another word for convocation, the holy convocations in the Scripture that I want to introduce this morning, is the word mikra. Can you say mikra? And it specifically means a rehearsal. So the feasts of the Lord were designed to be dress rehearsals for what God was really going to accomplish with Jesus. So for thousands of years, the Jews carried out dress rehearsals for what Jesus was coming to fulfill. Ever been involved in a dress rehearsal? You know, you're supposed to get your words right. You're supposed to hit your mark. You're supposed to be dressed right. You're supposed to be ready to go. And there's a reason for it all. Again, not to bind us in legalism or fear, but to understand the heart of the fulfillment in Jesus. Say with me, I want to see Jesus. We've been teaching on the signs of the times. Be ready. I think it behooves us to be ready more than ever before. I'm a preparationist. Then no matter what happens, you're prepared with Jesus to go, to stay, to turn sideways, or do the hokey pokey. He's not going to be casual. But if there's a catching up with the Lord, let's first and foremost be caught up spiritually to be like Him and be transformed, to get the renewing of our mind, to be just like Jesus. All right. Feasts are God's idea. Let's look at the Scripture. Leviticus 23, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation," say the next phrase with me, please, "these are my feasts." Exodus chapter 23, 14 through 17. 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the, say it with me please, feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. Crucial point. Underline that in your Bible if you're reading along. I'm using the New King James. None shall appear before me empty. Good time to take up an offering, isn't it, church? 5 people thought that was a good idea. The rest are just looking at me. We don't even take up offerings in this place. We provide an offering receptacle to the side, so you give it as an act of worship. But the Bible says we're not to appear empty-handed before the Lord. Okay? And then the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. The Feast of Ingathering, at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Families may come up, but the males would come to worship, meaning the headship, the representing the authority structure at that time. There was representing the authority and the submission of the country to God Himself. Again, we've talked about how Jerusalem would swell to 2.5 million people. Again, Passover, 1 day event, followed by 7 days feast of unleavened bread. Now, I'm going to take quite a section of scripture. Please hang in there. I think as the Church of Jesus, we are too subject to not using any scripture or too little. And I may be guilty of using more than you might be used to this morning, but I want you to see it from the Bible. What does the Bible say? Say it with me. What does the Bible say? All right, let's take a look. Exodus 12, 1 through 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." We're talking about Passover this morning. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be," please say it with me, "without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month," 4 days. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood, put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." Verse 8. "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in," say it with me please, "fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall," again, "burn, shall burn with fire. Thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." How many of you know that in today's day in America, we don't want Him to be the Lord? The national God, or the national God in America, sadly today, is capital S-E-L-F. We've rejected God for the idolatry of self. Lust, or whatever it may be, in a variety of fashion, but it's a God of self. We don't want Him to be the Lord. Oh, that's why God wouldn't judge anything. He's a loving God. How many understand the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament? But thank God for Jesus. Why do you think we have such a burden to share Him with people who don't know Him? It's appointed unto men once to die. But you have a chance when you die to spend eternity with Jesus. I'd rather do that, wouldn't you? Where's your destination? Your eternal destination. Do you know? And are you sure? "You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. I am the Lord," He said. Now verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood," please say it with me now, "I will pass over you. And," say it again, "the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Everybody take a big breath. Let's go on to the next section of Scripture. Verses 21 through 29. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Anybody want to be passed over so you're not stricken? And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. Verse 25. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your kids say to you, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Isn't that powerful? They bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away. This is crucial, you guys, because sometimes we go away from church and we don't do so. But what did they do? They went away and, say it with me please, did so. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. What a horrific night. What a horrific night if you weren't under the blood of the Lamb. Church, how many understand in this hour what a horrific night is coming and is even here if you are not under the blood of Jesus? Isn't it true? God's got good news, but we have to accept Him and His provision. Okay. They were hundreds of years in captivity as slaves in Egypt, and then finally, God heard their cry. It was a moving time. Take them back into their own land again. And God first had to deliver them, and then deliver Egypt out of them. He had to take them out of Egypt, and then take Egypt out of them. How many understand when you give your life to Jesus, you may come out of Egypt, a type of the world, but there's time taken to get Egypt or the world out of you. Come on, turn to each other and say, I see a little more world has to come out of you. I just want you to know the ground's level at the foot of the cross. We're all needy, okay? I know, some of you are looking at me going, we're going to take back that birthday card. You keep messing with us. Now, according to one text, according to one ancient text, one of the major Egyptian gods was the sheep, or the ram god, Amun. God miraculously allowed the Israelites to take lambs from among the Egyptians despite the humiliation that was going to come to their deity. According to Midrash, the Israelites explained they intended to sacrifice these lambs by the Lord's command. They would destroy, then, God would, the firstborn of Egypt. When the firstborn of Egypt heard that, they begged their fathers to let the Israelites go. But their cries were ignored until civil war broke out, which many Egyptians were killed in, and the warfare is referred to as the War of the Firstborn. And it's considered a great miracle that helped deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. All right, the very title, the Hebrew, Pesach. Pesach means Passover, and a passing over, or to pass or hover over. The Greek title, Paschal, or Pasha, or Pasha, is delivered from the Hebrew title. A double thought is intended in the very word. The thought of passing over in judgment of the death angel, and the thought of hovering over in divine protection. The death angel passing over to do what he needs to do, and the divine protection that comes from the house of the Lord. Judgment and mercy are revealed in Passover. Turn to each other and say, judgment and mercy. Live on the mercy side. Those who were saved, folks, were saved by the blood. Saved by the blood. It was put on the doorposts, and it was the death of a perfect lamb for them. And the blood was applied to the entry of the house. Jesus shed His blood. And when the door is applied, or the blood is applied to the door of your life, the death you deserve and that I deserve is gone and put on Him. The death angel passes over. Jesus fulfills the Passover. Let me give you a whole bunch of thoughts. I'll try to do them fairly quickly. But it's just absolutely rich when you take a look at what happened in Passover and how it was fulfilled. All right, this became, Jesus fulfills the Passover. This became the beginning of months. This was now the new beginning. They'd had 6 months of history up to this point, and God said, you're going to start from this moment, from this point. This is the beginning of your year. This is the new beginning for the Hebrew calendar. Biblically, all else that had gone before was set aside. How many thank God that in Jesus, when you give your life to Him, everything that went before is washed away by the blood of Jesus? Thank God, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The past is gone. Behold, all things become new. Look at each other and say, are you feeling new yet? Your new beginning. Thank God all the old is gone. Number two, the lamb was hidden for 4 days and examined. Jesus comes in, technically, by the way, on the calendar for the Passover season. He rides in 4 days before He is sacrificed, and He begins to be examined by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's set aside. The lamb was set aside on the 10th day, slain on the 14th, ordained to die in due time. Jesus enters Jerusalem. He's examined. He's tried. He was slain on the 14th day, the very same time the Paschal Lamb or the Passover Lamb was slaughtered. They were doing the dress rehearsal, and Jesus was fulfilling it at the same time. Now, also, how many understand the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years? Right? When Adam sinned, God set aside His Lamb, Jesus, for death. From Adam to Christ, we have 4 days or 4,000 years. 1 Peter 1:18-20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 4 days, 4,000 years. 4 days of examination, and then the death. He was foreordained, the Bible says, right here, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Have you ever thought to yourself, are you glad you live on this side of the cross? Man, you know, hindsight sometimes 20/20. Don't you wish you knew exactly what God was doing every time you go through a dealing? Oh, come on, don't look so sanctimonious. Anybody ever been tested in the Lord? Anybody ever read the book of Job? You know, don't you think Job was wishing, come on, what's going on here? That was what Job was saying. Ever felt like that? Come on, what's going on here? 99% of the dealings of God, you have to look back over your shoulder at to understand, oh, that's what He was doing. The other 1% of the time, you'll never know. That was a joke that passed right on by. It was Passover. All right. Let's see. Number three, without spot and blemish. Exodus 12, verse 5. The Israelites were to inspect the lamb to die for them, that it met God's standard. How many remember in Christ, everybody who inspected Him declared Him innocent and without fault? Pilate, Herod, Annas, Caiaphas, Judas, the centurion, the repentant thief declared Him without fault. A lamb for each house, the Bible says in the book of Exodus. That was the instruction. There was also, according to the Scriptures, a lamb for a nation, a lamb for the world. Isaac, remember, asked his father, if you recall, where is the lamb? Later in Scripture, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, say it with me, please, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. They were to kill it in the evening. Literally, in Exodus 12, verse 6, literally in the Hebrew, this means between the two evenings. And you remember, the Jews or the Hebrews counted their days differently than we do. They didn't start from midnight. It was 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And so the lamb must be killed in the evening of the 14th day. It was not, by the way, the spotless life of the lamb that brought deliverance, although Jesus did live a spotless life. It was the death and the blood shed that brought deliverance. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Sin cannot be removed without blood being shed. And guess what? Yours ain't good enough. Okay, let's just buy off on that right now. Turn to each other and say, you ain't good enough. I know that disappoints some of you. But it's true. The spotless Lamb of God had to die for each of us. It was His death instead of yours, instead of mine. He was slain between the two evenings, the 14th day at evening. The hours of crucifixion were between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The hours fulfilled between the two evenings. Remember, Jesus was taken down from the cross just before the Sabbath began in the evening. His crucifixion was exactly the same time as the Passover lamb being slain in the dress rehearsal. Now, the first fruits, by the way, we'll get to that another week, but the first fruits, Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. It's absolutely fantastic and full of richness, and we'll get to that. The body of the lamb must be eaten. Exodus 12, verses 8 through 10. It was eaten in one and the same night, the Bible says, with unleavened bread. There was no sin in Jesus. Leaven representing sin. With bitter herbs. How many know Calvary was a bitter experience for Jesus? And roasted with what? Do you think Jesus suffered in a fiery trial? Horrific fires of the dealings of God's holiness at Calvary? Indeed. Passover lamb was to be eaten with haste. Loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, eaten quickly. They were to be ready to travel. So too, when you eat the Passover lamb, don't keep messing around in the world. It's time to travel. When you're walking away from God and you come to repentance, the Bible says repentance is a 180 degree turn. You turn around and walk the other way back to God and your sins keep going. It's not time to go to church, pray a simple prayer, then go right back out and live the same way you lived before. I want to get drunk every day. I want to get high. I want to do whatever I want to do. And I'm saved. I gave my life to Jesus. I prayed a simple sinner's prayer. How many understand? That is not the context of what the Scripture teaches. Bible says surrender to your Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave. Do you think He did that so we'd be casual toward Him? No, it's called surrender. So, the type fulfilled in Jesus in the Old Testament. Eat it fast. Eat it ready to go. Ready to travel. Because when you give your life to the Lord, it's moving day. When you gave your life to Jesus, did your life change? Come on, church. Did your life change? Man. Now, it wasn't perfect right away, but a lot of this stuff fell away because I gave my life to the Lamb of God. The destroying angel passes over when he sees the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of your life. Not a bone was to be broken. You remember on the cross, two thieves next to him had their legs broken, remember? To get it done before the final sundown. But they came to Jesus and found He had already died. And they didn't need to break His legs, which fulfilled the Passover lamb perfectly. Unleavened bread was then to be eaten for 7 days. Again, we'll talk about this, but you remember last week when he talked about what they did to get the leaven out of their house, and dads would take the kids around, they'd get rid of all the leaven, and they'd use a feather and a wooden spoon and all that. That's a really fantastic story. It's really cool as they taught their kids how to get rid of the leaven. By the way, that's where the concept of spring cleaning comes from. The spring feast. They cleaned out their house. Everything was spick and span. Some of your wives have been doing that to you for years, haven't they, husbands, right? Okay. But the issue of 7 days of unleavened bread was a whole new life and complete separation from sin. You separate from the world of sin, and you're wholly His. Holy, the Lamb of God. Safety inside the house. Where was this? Inside the house, inside the door. Come on, say that with me, because it's important. Safety inside the house, inside the door. Now, in the Bible, none of the people were able or to go outside based on God's command until the time was right. Safety and security were conditional upon obeying the Lord's command. Staying inside the blood-sprinkled door and house. Church, what do you think that refers to? Staying inside the house of God. Staying inside the blood-covered body of Christ. Staying inside and staying in fellowship. And you get to Hebrews, where it's all about all of this. And Paul says, and so much the more, don't deny the gathering together of the saints. And one of the problems in America is people say, who needs the body of Christ? I don't need to go to church. I'm just a spiritual lad on the golf course. Well, I beg to differ with you. You may be able to appreciate the sight and sounds and the smells and the fact you don't get smacked in the head with a golf ball. But you aren't as close to Jesus as you can get in the house of God when you study His Word, worship Him, and grow in fellowship with the saints. Turn to each other and say, I need you, family. The problem was, if they went outside, they stepped out from under the covering. I don't want to be out from under the covering and protection of the presence of God. You see what I'm saying? How many know God's not casual about it? Healing power in the Lamb of God. They manifested and feasted upon the Lamb of God in Passover. We sang about it this morning. It came straight from the Scripture. You find out about this in Psalm 105, verse 37. And they brought forth His people with joy. You remember that? And there was not one feeble one beside. Okay? Feeling a little feeble? No. Come into the house of God and receive the presence of God, the refreshing of Jesus, the refreshing of the Lamb of God. There's healing. Hezekiah, you read about in the Old Testament, restoring the Passover. And there was such glorious times they celebrated in the Lord. There was great healing manifested again. And then spoiling the Egyptians at the Exodus. Pharaoh calls in Moses and Aaron after the firstborn are dead and slain. And he tells them, get quickly out of Egypt. In their haste to get Israel out of Egypt, they provided them with jewelry of gold and silver and clothing and raiments and anything else they required. And it completely fulfilled God's word to Abraham 400 years earlier. How many know this was Israel's payday for hundreds of years of slavery and no pay? They got their back pay on the way out the door. And then they gave it back when they built the tabernacle of God. Christ, the Bible says, spoiled the principalities and powers in His triumph at the cross. Israel spoiled the Egyptians. How many are glad that Jesus Christ spoils the demons of hell? How many are glad that Satan is defeated in the hands of Jesus? And where is Satan? Under the feet of the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Feeling a bit victorious? You should. Ephesians, Colossians, Isaiah. We partake of His riches and His grace. All right? Last section and we're done. No fellowship without the blood. The preeminent truth that God was trying to teach His people was the blood atonement. The only approach to God was through the blood. And that's fulfilled in Jesus. The only approach. It's not God's just a beam of light in every one of us. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus needs to be covering you and washing you clean. And it's His sacrifice, His death, not yours and mine, that open up access and avenue of relationship with God. Say it with me. Thank God for relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. Just like He said prophetically this morning, when I see the blood, I pass over you. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. At-one-ment, being one with God again for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Dress rehearsal. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of animals slain. But the precious, spotless, final sacrifice for sin was in Jesus. Never to be repeated. Now I want to deal with something really quickly. Just a quick thought for you. There are some in their legalism that I believe are deceived, who in legalism, even as believers, say God's going to set up all these sacrifices all over again. That's an abomination according to the Scripture, because there's one final sacrifice for sin and no other animal can touch the pure, precious, blameless blood of Jesus. Someone say amen. God is not going to start jumping back into accepting animals. Now, people may be sincere, but according to the Bible, that's sincerely wrong. Hold to truth. Not trying to offend anybody. But what does the Bible say? Whether or not you keep the feast is up to you. There's a heart of understanding that we need and that we can grow in. But the dress rehearsal is fulfilled in Jesus. Now, Jesus tells us to remember His body and blood in communion as we celebrate and remember what He did in the Passover for us. See the life this morning? How many see Jesus? The life. The one who fulfills the Passover. And we get to participate in Passover every day. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
We get to participate every single day. Now, I'm not saying it's not important to watch what He's doing on the calendar. It is. And that's why I handed that out this morning. Because I think we're going to see some things unfold and we need our eyes opened. Stay in the house. Stay under the blood of Jesus, the blood of the precious Lamb of God. John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Musicians, will you come, please? Will you stand with me? And let's sing that song that we've taught this morning, "I Am Covered Over with the Precious Blood of Jesus who Lives in Me." Are you glad for Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Kiri. If you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here. We invite you back every Sunday at this time. And normally on Wednesday nights, we have grace gatherings. You're invited to that too. There'll not be one this Wednesday night. But celebrate with us. We'll look forward to seeing you again. And stay for time of refreshments and afterwards. If you've not given your life to Jesus, I encourage you. The Lord commands you, but I encourage you. Come, let us pray for you as you surrender your life to the Lord. Father, I thank You for the great time we've had together this morning. Bless each one who's come. And Lord, let there be strength, refreshing, even rejoicing in the Spirit of the Lord. And the knowledge, again, that we are covered over, washed clean by the blood of Jesus that changes our life. Thank You, Jesus, for being the final sacrifice for sin, the precious Lamb of God. Bless each one as they go forth in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.